You guys know that I'm not afraid of the scriptures. I've never been in it. But I'm also a human being, and I also struggle with the tough stuff. Okay? And I'm going to tell you straight up right now that this sermon has given me fits. Okay? It just has. There's not any way in the world in the next 20 minutes, or the next hour, or the next 3 hours, that I can make my way through the implications of the four words that we're going to talk about. Actually, in the scripture, it's just two words, all right? I just cannot do it. But you need to know that I have wrestled with this. You need to know that in my office with Cy, we have wrestled with this. You need to know that even last night, in our bed, in between episodes of a show, we actually crawled in bed, I don't know, about 6:30 last night, and binge-watched some Netflix, you know, Madam Secretary, because we really liked that show. And in between one of them, I just said, I didn't really want to talk about it. I just needed to get it out. I said, I'm just struggling. You know, at the end of every episode, all I could think about was this. And that's probably a good thing. So, let me just start off by saying, well, we're wrestling together. I'm wrestling with you. Now, let me say something else. As an American citizen, as a member of the human race, as all of those things, I am. I play different roles. I have different things that I do and that I say, different authorities that I succumb to. Cops, you know, judges, Congress, etc. But from this pulpit, I have one authority. You hear me?
Amen.
Sitting right here, I have one authority. And there will never come a day when I will, with any knowledge at all, preach or teach anything but the scriptures and that authority, no matter what they come up against. Be it popular, be it presidential, be it citizen, nothing. Nothing overreaches the authority of the scripture and of God, especially from this seat. And I want to be very clear about that. Second, one of the reasons we struggle with tough topics is that our culture and our lifestyles have not allowed us to be in a place where those things can be dealt with as they should. It's all about who argues better. It's all about whose verbal prowess is better. It's all about who we're supposed to make comfortable or who we're supposed to make more financially prosperous. There are hundreds, literally, of different things that pull on our consciousness in the name of good things, in the name of loving someone else, in the name of the freedom of someone else. You are not going to be able to help that. But God, as He speaks to us, all right, He's making some assumptions. He's assuming that you didn't start with Commandment 6, you started with Commandment 1. I am the Lord your God. The reason Commandment 6 doesn't work in our culture is not because it's not true. It's because we don't accept Commandment 1 first. The reason you cannot, you are pulled in so many different directions by culture, by finances, by pride, by greed, by something, is that you don't take the second one. Don't have any other gods before me. So God is making an assumption when He sets these things out. When He says in Matthew, go to your brother, and if they hear you, you've won them over, and if they have not, then you take another and you go to them. You know what we've done with that? We've said, well, I went and told them what I thought, and they didn't listen to me, so you know what I did? I went and got my friend, and my friend and I, we went and told him what we thought, and he didn't like it, so now I'm going to my deacons, and my deacons and I, we're going to tell them what we think, and not, we're going to kick him there right after church. Well, yeah, that's kind of what it says, but that's not what it says at all. There's an assumption before God ever spoke these words that people were living together in community, that they were loving together in community, that they realized that all have sinned and fall short of the glory.
glory of God, and that each one of us needs to hold hands with the next and love and forgive and honor and encourage and discipline, all in one family unit, each one of us going through it in our time and in our place together and holding one another up. So all of those things play into how we handle this. Do you understand that? We're not going to fix it today. I don't need an amen for the political things that you think are right today. I don't need it. God already told me they were right. I don't need it. What I need is us to learn together about what this verse says about our church, what it says about our family, what it says about God, what it says about the lifestyle that we're going to leave for all those who come behind us. Not before us, behind us. So this morning, we are at these words. We all learned it from the King James. Don't lie, even if you never read the King James. All of you learned this one from the King James. Thou shalt not kill. Didn't you? You rolled down the commandments and you got thou shalt not kill. Well, in the Bible, here's what it actually says. No. I don't think we can argue about that word, okay? I don't need to spend any time on that word. No, okay? Not yes, but no. So that was taken care of. The next word, we don't really have a word for. But to say the word kill, it doesn't work. Do you understand that? To say the word kill doesn't work. That doesn't work for the commandment, okay? To say the word death doesn't work either, because no death is not the commandment at all right? No murder works well if we're understanding the concept of justified versus unjustified, of right motives versus wrong motives, but let's go here. No unjustly, unprovoked, taking a life that is not your own. Now, let us begin with what this tells us about God. Okay? God, from the beginning, is the author and creator of what? Life. That's right. In Him, there is no death. That's right. And there is a verse in the Bible that basically says, those who are far from me, those who are the opposite of me, love death. Okay? This commandment is supposed to draw us, bring us, rally us around life. The commandment is to exalt life, to bring forth life, to help continue life, and to stay away from death. Stay away from evil. Because there are other verses in the Bible that go, the evil one is far from me, and it is of him that death come. And there are all kinds of verses that point to Satan being the author of, the instigator of, the one who likes death. Hey, if he can't bring life, the best thing he can do is take you, take me, take us from life. But here's the other thing. We are also created in the image of God, all right? We are his ultimate creation. Understanding our image, our reflection, our responsibility as those who are like him to destroy that, whether you think it's right or someone else thinks it's right, or you're angry or you're ticked off, takes away from and causes the devil to go, that's what I'm talking about. Another one of his gone. Another one of his gone. Another reflection of his face gone. But they didn't act like a reflection of his face. Not your call. Not your call. Never. Either. So at the root of all this, it is about the God who brings life. Okay? Now, when we talk about thou shalt not kill, there are a plethora
of concepts, of ideas, of things that come up. Okay, it's interesting because a child recently came up to me because there was another young man in his class who I don't know if they were in a debate. I don't know how it came up, but the little boy wanted to talk to me after church, and he wanted to know about not being able to kill, but it had nothing to do with murder and everything to do with hunting. He wanted to know if he was, you know, if his dad, if the people around him, if they were bad for killing because they were hunting. And this little boy is not the first to ask the question. If we rise all the way up with animal rights and with PETA and with animal cruelty and all this stuff, we've opened up our first can of worms, okay? Let me help you. It is not a can of worms at all. It's just not. Not because I have an opinion or I don't have an opinion. Because I have scripture. And there is nothing else on the face of this earth, nothing else on the face of this earth that was created in the image of God. Nothing. There is also nothing else that is spoken of in this manner. When I consider the heavens, the works of your hands, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? God didn't come for the lambs. God didn't come for the hippos. God didn't come for the word for the squirrels. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? He came to visit us. Thou hast made him, man, a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Set him forth to name the animals. You have been given dominion by the authority of the Creator of the universe to watch over everything else. It's not a question. It's just not. The question is not whether or not you have the authority, it's how you use and abuse the authority. Over the years, we have decided that because it's our authority, just like a husband over a wife, we can force submission. We can hit, or we can degrade, or we can defend. No! In the same manner, we are not to be cruel. We are not to be sporty. We are not to just abuse the right that we've been given. Well, Craig, how do you know? I go back to something I've said to you over and over again. The closer you get to God, the more you know. The closer you get to God, the more you know. If you're out in a field hunting for sport and you have everything in your sight and, you know, your heart's beating, listen, I can't make that call for you. I can't make that call for you. I am not going to condemn you for pulling the trigger. I'm not going to give you the authority to do so either. I don't have that right. Here's what I am going to say. There's not a squirrel, not a deer, not an orca, not a hippo. There is never going to be a creature that is more important than any human, good or bad, any human. Well, I love my dog a lot, and I hate that sinner a lot. Doesn't matter. That sinner was still created in the image of God, and you can't contradict that or controvert it. You can't. It's not my authority. It's God. Period. So thou shalt not kill doesn't work because you can. Kill to eat. You can. Kill to grow. You can. Kill to practice. You can kill to grow your family as sons and fathers go out together. You can. You have dominion, but it's how you use that dominion. How you use that authority. And when you don't know, you ask. You sit down with your church family, with your pastor, and you talk it out. And you come up with the best answer together for you, for your family, for your friends. Simple. So thou shalt not kill doesn't work. It has to do with taking something that either does not belong to you or that you have not been given authority over. So this verse doesn't have anything to do with hunting or fishing. You understand? But in seeking that out, we find something that is important. It has everything to do with who you are created to be. Who you and I are. And that is God's
chosen creation. In the image of God created he them, male and female created he him, male and female created he them, okay? That has to be centered. And all around you are those creatures, those creations, those incredible beings, good or bad, all right? So we begin to work our way down the list, and it's simple, I can tell you. Don't kill each other. Don't murder each other. Don't in cold blood, intentionally, premeditatively, whatever way you want to look at it, take the life of another, no matter how angry, no matter how frustrated, no matter how out of control you are. Now, Craig, aren't there times scripturally speaking, there are. As much as I want to make this cut and dry and say, no, thou shalt not take another life, the end, which some people do, I cannot, because that doesn't match the whole of Scripture. Are there just wars in Scripture that God ordains? Yes. Are there murders in Scripture that God blasts? Yes. Are there lives taken in Scripture that God ordains and honors? Yes. There are both. How do we decide? You start with, thou shalt not murder. You begin there. And then through the relationship that you have with God, you work through it. If there's anger involved, if there's revenge involved, if there's anything unholy involved, that stops the process. You see what I'm saying? If you have to sin to get there, no, it's easy to stop. You don't do it. You can't do it. Well, what if I'm a soldier in a war? Look, folks, we can do this all day. First of all, if you're not the president, if you're not the prime minister, if you're not a member of Congress, then follow you. The end. God did not put you in that place. And as much as we don't want to admit it, there's nobody who's the president, nobody who's the prime minister, nobody who's the dictator that God didn't allow to be there. You hear me? That's not possible. It is not possible that the day Reagan, the day Obama, the day Clinton, the day any of those people got elected, God didn't go, oh, holy God! I didn't see that coming! Y'all were scared there for a minute, weren't you? That doesn't happen. But I can't look at you and say it ain't you. Okay? You don't have to make that call. And if you want to be involved in that call, you got to find yourself a way to either get put there, or let me teach you another very simple rule that will help everybody. Shut up. Shut up. Deal with what deals with you. Here's the last rule I'm going to give you today. We can talk through this anytime, any place, anywhere, with any given situation. And there is the key. With every situation, you walk it out with people who are around you who love you. But let me give you one steadfast way to understand. Is it love? Run it through that. Is it love? And you will be on your way to the answer. Because we can sit here and talk about scenarios all day long where somebody attacks your home, attacks your family. Listen, the Bible gives you freedom to defend what God gave you. Your country, your wife, your children. There is never a place where God says you cannot love them, honor them, and defend them with your life. So let's not get into that argument. Does it involve love and the responsibilities that God has given you? Not that you have taken, not that you assume, but the responsibilities that God has given you as a husband, as a father. Those responsibilities make a difference. Okay?
This is all about love, and it's all about life. Being for life. Being pro life. Now everybody in the room just took a little breath and knows where this is going. I'm going to make this really easy. Okay? When it comes to the sixth commandment, there isn't any such thing as pro-choice. That's not a biblical concept. Whether you agree with me or disagree with me, here's where we're going. Not a biblical concept. And if you want to talk a biblical concept, then let me tell you something. I'm pro-choice. What? Yeah, I'm pro-choice. I get to choose where I get to eat after we leave church today. I get to choose whether I go home or go to the playground. I get to choose whether or not I kiss my wife outside in the sun or I just pull her in my office and plant one on her. I get to choose when and how I do that. If that's what you mean by pro-choice, that's fine. But if you're talking about the difference in not being pro-life, then that's not called pro-choice. That's called pro-death. Are you following me? Here's what we've done. We've said the opposite of pro-life is pro-choice. A sinner cannot be somebody who's not human. You understand that? If you're not human, then you can't be a sinner. But did you know that the Bible says that you were a sinner even in the womb? Did you know that when Jesus himself was in the womb, he leapt? He leapt inside his mother's womb? Did you know that you were knitted inside the womb? Did you know that you were loved inside the womb? There are all kinds of places in the scripture where God talks about the child inside the womb. From the beginning, there is life. And no other creature is like that except humans. Science can't disprove it. It is what it is. Life starts at the beginning. Just like life started at the beginning. So from that point on, it is life or death. Now, well, Craig, I know, but what about this? What about that? What about this? You all don't even know this. I didn't know this till this week. We've made it about convenience. I am not saying that we don't need to sit and pray with one another when this decision comes along. I'm not. I'm saying if this is where you are, hey, let's sit and talk about it. I have to start with life. That's what God does. That's the character of God. But I'm not saying that we would never talk through something and God wouldn't lead us in love to do what He led us to do. But I am saying you begin with life. You start the conversation with life. It doesn't matter what the laws say. Here's why. The laws don't know. The laws can't make up their mind. There's a case that was tried out west where a guy didn't want a baby, so he tricked the mother into taking a pill that would cause the baby to be passed. Told her it was something else. That man was tried and convicted of murder. Here's the thing though. Same baby, same pill, but if she takes it, it's completely legal. Thou shalt not kill unless you are female?
No.
Thou shalt not kill unless you are... No. Thou shalt not murder. See, with God, there's no black and white. And if you kill someone, murder someone who is pregnant, guess what you get charged with? Double homicide. Two counts of murder. Guess where that comes from? I had no idea that in the scripture, in Exodus, there is a situation that is something like this. I'm going to explain it to you as if it would happen nowadays. Two guys are in a bar, and they get into a fist fight. And one of them is punched and stumbles back into a pregnant lady, and the force of that impact, unintentional, causes her to go into labor and have the child. That person is responsible for all of the medical bills incurred in that moment. But if the baby dies, that person is responsible for the life of the baby in court. That's in the Bible. The baby is alive. Is a life, and that's how God sees it. Period. I don't know any way of all through the scripture, it is consistent. Politics, not consistent. You understand? Now, one of the reasons I struggle with this is because I know there are people in the room who have been to war and you struggle. I know there are likely, because there's 150 people here at church today at least, I know there are people in the room who have considered having, have gone through, have a spouse, have an abortion. It doesn't make you any worse or any better than anybody else in this room. Does it make you any more tainted? Does it make you any more broken than anybody else in this room? And the problem is the world has fought this battle. They have done something else. We have begun to murder souls. We have waved our banner so high. We have hung our billboards so blatantly that people driving down the street, that little girl driving down the street looks over at those blue and pink crosses out in front of the church yard. I'm not condemning the churches either, but I'm saying that doesn't help. I'm saying you just pointed out to someone you haven't wrapped your arms around, to someone you didn't walk through the process with, that they are wrong, they are a sinner, and maybe they didn't know what else to do. And you expect them to act like you, who sat in church and fallen in love with God, yet we condemn them in our own ignorance. You've reached in and you've ripped out their soul when they've already been ripped apart because they are a child of God too. Stop it! You're trying. Lead with life. We didn't lead with love.
You want to be pro-life? Be pro-life, but be pro-life all the way. Bold. Bold. Parents, I love you. Don't ever say that to your kids. Please. But I already have. It's okay. It's okay. Stop it. You know why? Because words. Ask the psychologist in the room. Words destroy.
Take a lion out of the wild, put him in a cage, he stays there long enough, he's not the same person he was, is he? Same with a child. You tell them long enough that they're ugly, you tell them long enough that they're bad, you tell them long enough that they're evil, you beat them down with your language, they're never going to be the person God created them to be. Guess what you've done? You've murdered who they were. Taking a life that didn't belong to you. Well, what about my life? What about my life? My life belongs to me. Let me clear this one up right now. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. Your life belongs to Him. In taking your own life, you're taking something that doesn't belong to you either. And if you're married, you're taking something that actually is connected to and belongs to something else. And if you're a child, you're taking something that God has made someone else responsible for. And if you're a parent, you're taking something from someone else. Now let me be clear. There is only one unpardonable sin. Suicide is not it. So let's get that right out the door. We're not Catholic in this place. Love me some Catholics, but that one they missed. There is only one sin that is unpardonable. It is not suicide. But suicide is wrong. It's not wrong because the Bible says it's wrong. It's wrong because thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not unjustly take a life that is not yours. That life is God's, and to do so makes you Him. You're not Him. Okay? We can talk more about that. We can talk more about abortion. We can talk more about just wars and unjust wars. But here's the thing. All of this comes back to no murder. Pro-life. Not a stance on a political abortion, but a standard about a God who is eternal. In Him there is no man. This is what this commandment teaches us about who He is and who He wants us to be. We don't want to be a church that sucks the life out of people. Look, anybody ever been? Don't raise your hands. Fathers, don't suck the life out of your wife and your children. Wives, don't suck the life out of your husband. Nag the life out of your husband. Suck the life out of your kids. Grandparents, don't try to be the parents to the children. You had your chance. Now it's your children's chance. Children, don't exasperate your parents. Don't suck the life from them. We need to be life-giving. We need to be life-sustaining. We need to be pro-life because the Bible says no murder. Devil, murder. God, life. This is the commandment.